always believed. You know, the 4th of July is a national holiday, and understandably so. It is our nation's Independence Day. Hey, do me a favor. Go back and read the Declaration of Independence with your kid this weekend, or kids. I'm serious. Now more than ever, when there are all these powerful forces that want to cancel history and demonize the people who helped form the greatest nation in the history of mankind, can I still say that without getting canceled? Is the cancel culture going to go after me because I actually still really love America? You're not supposed to verbalize that. It's triggering to some people. But I do. I love our country. Go read those founding documents. And I didn't even get to my main point. I'll make my main point some other time. Even when I'm recording stuff for a holiday version of the show, I can't stay on track. Okay, glad you're with us. Enjoy some of our favorite segments here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, if the weather window is there, the first private space launch ever will happen in 26 and a half minutes from Cape Canaveral. And because I'm such a nostalgic-filled guy, we're going to bring that to you live here on the Dory Monson Show, if it happens. So, Sean, let me ask you, if the space launch is supposed to hit at 33, and I want to hear the countdown, we got to be done with the news by 32.
Okay.
So what time you want me out of the fastest 15 here?
Oh, yeah, you want me to back time real quick on the air?
Yeah, give me a back time. Yeah.
Let's see. We got
22. You want me out by 22?
I would say 22 would probably be for the best.
That'd be safe. Okay, because I want it back in my hands at 32, so we can hear the countdown. I'm very excited about this for reasons I don't even understand. Okay, is Nicole with us today? Nicole, are you dialed in?
Yes, I'm here.
You on the air? Okay.
I have a
question for both of you. I have a question for both you and Sean, because I think one of the reasons why, besides the fact that I have fond childhood memories, I guess I'm still amazed that sending human beings into space has become so routine that, you know, takeoffs and landings have happened over the last couple of decades without any coverage whatsoever. And that surprises me. But one of my all-time favorite talk radio topics is I saw a quote once from a philosopher, and I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre. But he said, the truest glimpse to a man's soul is how he answers the question, this is what I was doing when I felt the most alive. And when I would do that every couple of years, and the calls I got were just so fascinating because they were so filled with passion. And I remember just vividly, one of my listeners had gone to see the space shuttle launch, and he was at the closest, he had some VIP pass, so he was at the closest location that you're allowed for takeoff, and he described the concussion because of the power that it takes to lift a craft that huge out of gravity and into space, and he talked about how the concussion just went right through his chest. And I put that on my lifetime goals list, and then they stopped doing space shuttle launches. But I should have prepped both of you for this because you had no idea I was going to ask this. And Sean, I know you're just usually the jokey quipster, but I'm actually serious. Do either of you have answers for what you were doing when you felt the most alive?
That's a really
anybody?
It's a really deep question, I think, Dory.
It's hugely deep.
Yeah.
And as I said, it gives a glimpse into your souls. It's the truest
glimpse. I think mine would probably be something to do with travel. I think that when I'm in different countries, looking at different landscapes, different oceans, things like that. I think those give me an energy that I just crave and am the most addicted to.
Okay. I know how much you love that. Anything pop to mind, Sean?
This is a question that I don't even really think about all that often. It's sort of like, what brings you joy? That might be a little bit more easy to answer. But I guess I would say road trips, maybe, or camping. Sort of traveling at that fast speed, driving across the land, or when you finally get to that campsite and just sitting around looking at the water or the trees or whatever. I like that experience. And I guess I would say that makes me feel most alive for an off-the-cuff answer.
Yeah. And in all seriousness, I do think it's a question people should ponder on an occasional basis, because if there is something, especially now when we're all sitting at home and there's a sameness to life unlike at any time in our history, and we should ponder, this is what I was doing when I felt the most alive, because do it again. Start planning for it. Whenever this lockdown ends, whenever we can start living our lives with some sense of normalcy, start making plans now. If you are down because of staying at home every single day for weeks and months on end, start planning, and you'll start feeling that intensity again. And because my answer, it was the most innocuous, seemingly innocuous of moments. But gosh, we went with our girls to the Caribbean, and my oldest, who at the time was about, oh gosh, I think the girls were 5, 6, and 9, and my oldest and I went snorkeling. And we were holding hands as we went out towards this little reef area. And then we separated. And that's really cool as a dad when you can take your kid. She had never snorkeled before. And when you let go, there's something, I get all emotional when I talk about this, but there's something very metaphorical about physically letting go. And what you're going to have to do years and years later. But then, as we were getting around this little rocky reef, the waves were coming against it. And I could tell she was a little scared, snorkeling for the first time. Occasionally a wave would come over the snorkel vent. And I saw her reaching out for me. And she touched my arm around my elbow. And her hand came up until we were holding hands again. And at that moment, I have never felt more alive. It was just, for me, it was what life was all about right then and there. So anyway, look at me getting all emotional.
Do you want some of listeners' moments?
Yeah, please.
One says wing walking, which sounds very scary and interesting. Bungee jumping, passing kidney stones. Watching daughters be born.
Can I tell you a quick kidney stone story?
Oh no,
I've never had them. But I remember back when we would take calls on a regular basis, somebody was calling about just some topic, sound transit or whatever. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of his call, I heard water splashing. And I said, wait a second. I don't remember what the guy's name was, Steve. And I said, wait a second, Steve, are you in a bathtub right now? And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I go, wait, are you naked right now calling into the radio show? And he goes, yeah, I'm trying to pass a kidney stone.
Oh.
And I said, oh, I said, I've heard that is awful. Is it as bad as I've heard? And he said, Dory, last night I sat on my bedroom floor and I was slamming my head against the wall, trying to knock myself out so I would not feel the pain that I was in last night.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, well, yeah, you feel pretty alive if you, and one of my other favorite, bungee jumping was scarier than skydiving for me. And yes, I've never felt more alive than now. That would be in my top 5, certainly. But what's the other one I was going to bring up based on what you said? The bungee jumping. What was the other one you read? I know.
A wing mocking.
Yeah. No, but it doesn't always have to be great experiences. One of my callers told me about a firefight that he was in Vietnam. And he described hearing the bullets whizzing past his ear. And he said, I felt every fiber of my being in my fingertips, in every cell of my body, because he truly thought he could die at any instant. And he said he went into this realm of just unbelievable self-awareness and, you know, hearing the as the bullets went flying by. And it always just produces. Make a note, Nicole. I want to do that topic again soon. Can we do that?
Okay, note made.
It's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite call-in topic. So, but yeah, keep texting us because I think it's always cool to hear answers to that question. This is what I was doing when I felt the most alive. According to ancient philosophers, that is the truest glimpse of a person's soul. So, yeah, shoot us your text on that at 98973.
We're getting some pretty good ones. We'll come back to them.
Okay. Did I just random my way all the way? No, we still got time here in the
fastest 15. We got a few minutes,
Okay. Well, we got some fake news to tell you about. So Amazon had written essentially a script, and their PR department sent it out to the media. It was just a pro-Amazon news segment written by and produced by Amazon itself. And they did it prior to the shareholders meeting, but they had PR people who pushed it out to local TV news outlets. And at least 11 news outlets around the country ran the news that had been produced by Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Amazon has transformed its operations in response to COVID-19 to protect employees and keep packages flowing.
Amazon has transformed its operations in response to COVID-19 to protect employees and keep packages flowing.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy while still delivering those packages to your doorstep.
The company is keeping employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its...
Okay, you get the idea. But they presented it like it was their news people who wrote the script, but it was prepared by Amazon, and there were TV news operations around the country that just ran it verbatim and presented it as news. So,
hey, Dory, I've got some breaking news about the SpaceX. It's been scrubbed, and we can check in with CBS 42, the NASA channel, and they're kind of talking about it right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, doggone it. I'm disappointed. Okay, yeah, I'll finish my MSNBC story in a couple minutes, but take me there live, Sean. Thank you.
A little bit better, but we're still going to be kind of rolling the dice. It is Florida in the spring and summer, so storms are always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
One of the good things, though, the vehicle appeared to be in great health throughout the day, both Dragon and Falcon 9, so we didn't have to scrub for any technical issue. We're going to continue and follow along with Bob and Doug until they're out of that capsule, as, again, they had started loading fuel onto the Falcon 9 rocket, so they'll have to wait until all that fuel comes off. They'll disarm the launch escape system, which still stays armed because they're still sitting on a partially loaded rocket. And then once they're able to disarm that launch escape system, the crew arm will swing back out. They'll make their way once again back the way they came, and then it'll be back to crew quarters for Bob and Doug for a few more days.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just jump in on that. And so the first ever private manned space launch, joint operation between SpaceX and NASA, has been scrubbed because of weather. And, man, Florida has just been socked by weather. If you watched the exhibition golf match on Sunday between Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. It was pouring for much of that match, and now up the coast a ways at Cape Canaveral, Florida, they have just scrubbed the first ever private space launch. I was excited. I wanted to hear the countdown live on my show. I wanted, I was really getting excited to do that because I just
imagine I'm if you were sitting in there though.
I know, and I know it, but I mean, you know me, Nicole. I like the whole feel of old-timey radio where you carry, you know, routinely would carry stuff like this live. And but, yeah, think about those two astronauts, too. My goodness. And this was a, you know, thought to be a race a few years ago. There's a good Washington Post story about this today, how SpaceX, which is the Elon Musk private company, and Boeing, it was a battle between the two of them. Who's going to be the first private company to have a manned space launch? And SpaceX, despite Boeing had all these attachments and legacy in aerospace and in NASA history, but SpaceX was able to be more nimble and to beat Boeing to space, or at least that is still the plan. Ah! Did you see it? They just announced the rescheduled launch time.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Saturday.
What is it?
Saturday.
Weekend?
12:22 Saturday afternoon. So it's not going to even happen during our radio show. Okay. Well, tell you what. The good news is that since I rapped about what you were doing when you felt the most alive and telling my stories, I still have a whole bundle of Fastest 15, and we were going to bring you a space launch live in the next segment, but instead, it won't be any fall off in quality or entertainment factor. We will just continue with our Fastest 15. Let me take a quick time out. We'll check the news for you, and then our Fastest 15 will continue. A second 15 coming up next as the Dory Monson Show continues. Some of our favorite segments here on the Dory Monson Show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to, you know, grab a little bit of a holiday weekend here. And we will be back with you Monday at high noon with a brand new show. And I'm not going anywhere forever after this. I took days off last week. I get a holiday weekend this week. But really glad you're with us. And you can stay in touch on Twitter. You can still text us, check in the text line. And thank you for being a great listener here for Cairo Radio and on the Dory Monson Show. In the aftermath of all of the rioting and looting and theft that took place in Seattle and surrounding cities a couple of Saturdays ago, I got a really intriguing email from a listener named Derek, and here's his story. He said, "My name is Derek. I was reaching out to see if you guys could help me out with getting a couple of rings that were stolen back to their rightful owners. My ex-girlfriend participated in the looting that happened on Saturday night in downtown Seattle. We broke up, and the two rings ended up in my possession. She told me they were at a store getting cleaned and approved. At one point during her looting, she had the paperwork on them, and the value was $7,000 and $800. I've contacted a few jewelers in Seattle that they were not familiar with them. I tried giving them to my ex's arresting officer because she assaulted me in a domestic violence situation, but he didn't want to take them. So then I thought I would reach out to you and see if you could help me return them to their rightful owners. I don't feel right keeping them, and I don't condone her actions. And the man who reached out to me, Derek, is on the line with me here on the Dory Monson Show. Eric, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Yeah, good speaking with you too, Dory.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand this. So did you and this woman break up because she had gone out looting and stealing on that Saturday night?
Yeah, that was definitely part of it, you know, leading up to what happened on this last Monday here. She assaulted me in front of my child. So, you know, I called it quits after that. But, okay. Yeah, I definitely don't condone what she did that night. You know, she just basically took off and said she was going to Seattle. And I was like, why? You know, and then sure enough, you know, she came back with all this different stuff and whatever.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So you saw her right before she went into the city to bust windows and steal stuff.
Yeah, exactly. She left me and my son back. We were staying at a hotel in Kent.
Okay.
And she just decided to take off. And I was like, all right.
So then...
You're going to do what you're going to do, but there's going to be consequences, you know?
You were in the motel with your son? Were you watching TV of what was going on in Seattle?
Yeah, we were watching it before we went to bed, you know, and I was just like, yeah, it's awful, you know.
And then your girlfriend came back to the motel after her night was through?
Yeah, she came back like probably pretty early in the morning. I remember waking up, you know, later that morning, and she had all this stuff she was showing me and stuff, and I was like, really? You know, it doesn't feel right, you know.
Well, no. It felt, you're stealing stuff. It doesn't feel right. So,
yeah, exactly.
What else had she stolen besides these two rings?
Oh, she got like a big North Face duffel bag. I think there was Carhartt clothes, women's clothes. And what else? I didn't get too much. I remember there was like some sort of like gold tester that she got at that jewelry store too.
And so
it was, like a precious metals tester.
Did you call the police when you saw that she had all this stolen property?
No, I didn't call the police then. I basically told her I don't really want anything to do with that stuff, you know. And our relationship was already, you know, on the rocks, you know.
Yeah.
And so basically I just told her I don't want any of that. And I don't want it around my son. And you see, about a week after that, about this Monday now, she did her little incident where she just lost her mind and, you know, she's on drugs and stuff, so she assaulted me, and then I called the police and my mom, and we got me and my son out of that situation.
Sure. Well, yeah. And first and foremost, you got to take care of your 2-year-old, because it sounds like he's already been surrounded by some turmoil.
You got to take care of your boy.
Yeah, yeah, that's your most sacred duty in life now, is to take care of your boy.
Exactly.
But I'm curious, why did you not call the cops when you saw all the stolen stuff she had?
Because at that time I was still trying to make it work with her, you know, but that definitely damaged my view of her, you know, but I tried to hold on to the good times, you know what I mean?
So when the cops were finally called, it wasn't about the looting, but it was about the domestic violence incident?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and that officer would not take the stolen items that you had in your possession now?
I think, yeah, he was just probably just trying to focus on what was going on at the time. And, you know, I know that the police are really busy, too, right now.
Right. Well, was that Kent Police, I assume?
That was Kent Police, correct,
okay, yeah. It's a different jurisdiction. It's probably a big
house. That's true, another jurisdiction, correct. Yeah.
Okay, so
I haven't really tried to reach out to Seattle PD too much just because of everything going on right now. I don't know if it's too big on their radar at the moment.
Well, no, I think you should reach out to SPD because they've been really trying to track down the stolen stuff.
They have been. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I think that's job one. Do you know what store she stole them from?
No, but I kind of know the area because when she was out doing that, me and her had like a little GPS, like, you know, where you're at kind of, you know, family app thing.
Yeah.
And so I was able to track her movements while she was in the city that night, and I took screenshots of that. So I kind of have the general area she was in. But that's what I was saying. Like, I called a couple different stores there, but obviously a couple are still closed because of it, you know.
Yeah, I would say that it would be really important for you to contact SPD, and I think you should do it as soon as we're done with this call, because you're in possession of stolen property, and I know you're not the person who stole it, but you gotta make sure that you're legally that your hands are clean on all of this,
because
you don't want to get
yourself
in a jackpot with all of this.
Right. No, that's what I was gonna do. I reached out to you guys, and then you know, we had that one day go by, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just gonna contact the police here today. I was gonna do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you do
that's
that.
Cool. You guys reached out.
But in the meantime, Derek, here's what I'm thinking. If people, so these rings were being cleaned by whichever jeweler had them.
Yeah, she had told me, my ex told me that she found them at a desk, like in the back, and they had like papers on it with like, I'm pretty sure it was probably the owner's names and everything. So it looked like they were back there getting cleaned or appraised or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really made me want to get it back, you know, to the owners. Because I know that, you know, jewelry stores are insured, whatever. But if it's somebody's ring, that means a lot to them, you know, want to get it back.
Yeah, money doesn't replace the inherent value, the special memories. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So a couple courses of action that I would recommend, Derek. Number one, get hold of Seattle Police, explain the situation. They could probably quickly help you find the store if you know, several square block radius where she was. They could probably help you find the store. And then the only other thing, because you can't post pictures of them, because every scammer would say, oh, yeah, that's my ring. And you don't want to do that. But if people have a picture of their ring that was stolen on that Saturday night, I could give out your email address and they could send you pictures. And if it matches up exactly with one of the rings you have, then you could work directly with that person.
Yeah, that'd work great.
Does that sound okay if I give out your email address?
Okay. That sounds great.
Okay, so that's the word here. If you had a ring that was downtown Seattle in a jewelry store to be cleaned two Saturdays ago, and you've now been informed that it's been stolen, then take a picture. If you have a picture of that ring, you can send it to Derek. And your web address, your email address is cedarbirchdocs@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so the two types of wood, cedarbirchdocs@gmail.com. And if somebody
docs like a boat dock, you know, like boats come up to. Yeah.
cedarbirchdocs@gmail.com. And if somebody has a photo of their stolen ring, they can contact you directly, and you can, you know, be careful though, because there are going to be some scammers trying to score a $7,000 ring too.
Right.
They're
both pretty unique too. So I mean, if somebody can describe it down to the T, you know, they're both pretty unique.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're done with this woman forever now, right?
Yeah, that's definitely what we're working on right now, and just trying to. Yeah, we got a emergency no contact, and then the prosecutor put one on also.
Okay, how long had you two been together?
Oh, about a little over 4 years, probably.
So, is she the mother of your 2-year-old?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay. Well, that's hard. I mean, and, you know, like I said at the beginning, Derek, there's nothing more sacred in our lives than taking care of our kids, and can't be bringing that kind of turmoil into a child's life. So I hope you stand strong here and make sure you only surround your boy with people who are righteous and who are going to always be a positive example for him.
Yeah. Thank you, Dory. I really appreciate the words, man.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Is he a good boy?
Yeah, he's a great boy. He's a great
good
boy.
Good kid there? Okay.
Yep.
Good. Well, you be a great dad to him, Derek, and let Seattle Police know. Maybe somebody will reach out to you on email, and we'll see if we can get those rings back to the rightful owner.
Thank you, Dory. I appreciate the help.
Okay. I appreciate you reaching out to me, Derek. The fact you trusted me for this, that means a lot to me. So I really appreciate it.
My dad's a lifelong listener, and, you know, I rubbed off on me. I've been listening to you for probably the last 5 years or so.
Oh, your dad sounds like a good man.
Yeah.
Now we got to get the boy listening. Even though
Even though
he's only two, I can start setting his mind right at an early age.
There we go. Yeah, okay. We get three generations going.
There you go. All right, Derek, it's really nice talk with you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dory.
Okay. All right, take care. That's Derek. Okay, so if you have had a ring that was stolen in the rioting in Seattle, if you have a great description or a photograph of it, contact Derek at cedarbirchdocs@gmail.com. And then Derek's going to pursue it through SPD as well. And hopefully we can reunite somebody with something that means a lot to them. All right, you can text me, 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Alcoholic should result in a life behind bars, because that's exactly what's happening right now. That's how crazy our world's gotten. This is in India at the Kanpur Zoo. The Kanpur Zoo has a monkey named Kalua, and the monkey is going to remain behind bars for the rest of its life. And the reason is because Kalua the monkey was just roaming free in a village there in the Mirzapur district of India. And according to the reports, Kalua was a pet monkey of one of the residents there. And Kalua's owner would always give him liquor to drink. So Kalua the monkey would get all liquored up and became an alcoholic. And then when his owner died, Kalua stopped getting the liquor and became super aggressive. He went on a biting spree. He attacked 250 villagers, one of whom died. And the zoo, they finally caught him, and they said they kept him in isolation for some months and then shifted him to a separate cage. But he remains as aggressive as he was. He's been going through alcohol withdrawals. He really misses his booze, they say. But they cannot let him drink because that's cruel. And so the zoo doctor has announced that Kalua will remain behind bars in captivity for the rest of his life. The monkey is only 6 years old. But the zoo doctor said if he was set free, he would harm people wherever he went in his insatiable quest for liquor. And so poor Kalua is going to spend the rest of his life behind bars. Telling you, those addiction issues, they can screw up a life.